بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for it. In our previous lessons, we talked about our master, the companion Abdullah ibn Abbas. May Allah raise his rank and his father's rank. We talked about Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, one of At-Tabi'een, the companion of the companions. And we talked about one of the companions of the Prophet Safina, radiyallahu anhu. And we talked about them in the context of the people who died during the rulership of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who ruled between the years 65 and 86 Hijri. So many great Muslim people died during his rulership, and we are talking about few of them. Today, inshallah, we want to talk about another great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who died during the rulership of Abdul Malik, the son of Marwan. And this Sahabi, this companion, is Abu Abdul Rahman Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma. So this is Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And his kunya is Abu Abdul Rahman. And he is the full brother of Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, who was one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have the same mother, Zainab, the daughter of Maz'un. And this Zainab is the sister of Uthman, the son of Maz'un. Mim, Za'ain, Waw, Noon. And Uthman ibn Maz'un was one of the very early people who embraced Islam in Mecca. He was maybe the 14th man to embrace Islam. He went to Al-Habasha, the immigration, with his son As-Sa'ib. And then they came back. And he was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the things that he was the first who died in Al-Madinah from among the immigrants, and was the first man to be buried in the cemetery of Al-Madinah, known as Al-Baqi' Cemetery. Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi radiyallahu anhu narrated from Lady Aisha that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam kissed Uthman ibn Maz'un after he died. And he was crying and shedding tears. And when his son Ibrahim, means the son of the Prophet, Ibrahim later died, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam addressed his son, who was a baby. He told him, إِلْحَقْ بِسَلَفِنَا الصَّالِحِ عُثْمَانَ ابْنِ مَضْعُونَ. So he said to his son Ibrahim, follow the path of our righteous Salaf, means our friend who passed away earlier, Uthman ibn Maz'un. So that was a testimony from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the righteousness of Uthman ibn Maz'un. So this Uthman was the brother of Abdullah's mother. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah the son of Umar, was born 3 years after the prophethood of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He became Muslim early with his father before he became pubescent. And he immigrated with his father while he was 10 years old. And it is confirmed that in the Battle of Badr, which happened during the second year of Hijrah, that he was 13 years old. So he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam volunteering to fight with the companions against the idol worshippers of Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at him and he considered him as very young to participate in the battle. So he was 13 years old. Then in the following year in Uhud, he came also to participate, and the Prophet said, turned him down as being too young to participate. Also, Abdullah ibn Umar came back during the Battle of Al-Khandaq, the ditch, when the three groups came to invade Al-Madinah, and then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered the digging of a ditch around Al-Madinah upon the recommendation of Salman radiyallahu anhu. So when he came in the year 5 Hijri for this battle, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam accepted him, and he was at the time, Abdullah was at the time 15 years. He has finished 15 years of his age, as confirmed in the Sahih. Now, Abdullah was stout, if you want, fleshy, and he was average height. He had, you know, swarthy skin. He had a long hair that came down to his shoulders. He used to dye his hair, his beard, with yellow. And he used to make his mustache, according to the sunnah, means he would trim it above the lips very well. Also, he used to make wudu for every prayer. You know that a person can pray all the prayers with one wudu if no invalidator of wudu was committed. And a person may have wudu and then pray using this wudu, then it is sunnah to make another wudu although the previous one was not invalidated. Abdullah ibn Umar used to make wudu for every prayer. And he, when he made wudu, he made sure that the water went into his eyes, although the person is not required to, like, make the water go inside the eye. Abdullah ibn Umar was more careful about doing it. His son, Salim, the son of Umar, Abdullah, Salim, the son of Abdullah, told us the following story narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said that his father said, a person during the lifetime of the Prophet, if he saw a dream, he would go and tell it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it was the habit of people of men who saw dreams to tell the Prophet about what they saw in the dream. So Abdullah said, I wished I would see a dream and then I tell it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, I was a young man and I used to sleep in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, means during the time of the Prophet's life. And he said, one night I saw in the dream as if two angels took me to hellfire. He said, in the dream, I saw as if two angels took me to hellfire. And I looked at it, and it had walls, just like the well would have walls around it. And it had two sides, he said. And I looked into it, and I saw people I knew inside hellfire. So in the dream, I kept saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. I ask refuge with Allah. I ask Allah to protect me from hellfire. And in the dream, he continues, another angels met with us. So remember, two angels came and took him to hellfire. Then another angel came, and he told me, don't be afraid. And then he woke up. So I told my sister Hafsa about my dream. And remember, Hafsa is the wife of the Prophet. So Hafsa went ahead and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what her brother Abdullah saw in the dream. The response of the Prophet was, نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ يُصَلِّي مِنَ اللَّيْلِ نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ يُصَلِّي مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. So the Prophet said, how good a man is Abdullah if he would pray at night. How good a man is Abdullah if he would pray at night. Meaning if he would pray at tahajjud, the sunnah prayer. And Salim is narrating about his father this story. So he said, after Abdullah heard what the Prophet said about him, he did not use to sleep except a small part of the night. He would not sleep at night except for a short piece of the night. And Nafi', who was a slave of Abdullah, and Abdullah set him free, Nafi' said that Abdullah used to pray at night. And people used to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this dream of Abdullah was in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and the 7th means the 27th night of Ramadan. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that about Laylatul Qadr, that it seems that many companions have seen that the night would be, the night of Qadr would be in the last 10 nights of Ramadan during the odd nights, like the 21st, the 23rd, 25th, 27th or 29th. So the Prophet said, who is seeking Laylatul Qadr, whoever is seeking to catch Laylatul Qadr, let him catch it in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And in another narration, the Prophet said, إِنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. Certainly Abdullah is a righteous man. Certainly Abdullah is a righteous man. And alhamdulillah, this is, as we said, another testimony from the Prophet for one of his companions, this young man, Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And some scholars said that Abdullah used to sleep in the masjid, and whoever stays at the masjid is expected to be worshipful, not to sleep a lot, to stay up at night and pray. So this was an indication for Abdullah that it's, you should be praying at night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, giving Abdullah, of course, through this dream and what the Prophet said, that if you want to protect yourself from hellfire, then you should be praying at night, doing this good deed. One of the companions, the great companions of the Prophet, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, said, "One who controls his desires the most among our young people in Quraysh is Abdullah ibn Umar." The one who controls his desires among the young people of Quraysh is Abdullah ibn Umar. Another companion, Jabir, the son of Abdullah, said, "Every one of us who lived in this life," he's talking about some of the companions of the Prophet at that time, he said, "he was affected by this dunya. He changed. Except Abdullah ibn Umar." And many companions said that a lot of people changed from the way that they used to be during the time of the Prophet, after the Prophet died. Except Abdullah ibn Umar, he remained exactly the way he was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, one of the great Tabi'i scholars, said, "لو شهدت لأحد من أهل الجنة لشهدت لابن عمر." So he said, "If I were to testify for someone that he is among the people of paradise, I would have done it for Ibn Umar." You know, Islamically, we do not say a person is for certain, you know, surely will go to paradise without a text from the Quran or text from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We usually say we think he is righteous. We don't say he is certainly righteous without a indefinite proof. So Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he said, "I usually don't say that about anyone. But if I were to do it, I would be sure about Abdullah ibn Umar." Tawus, another scholar of tafsir and min al-tabi'in, he said, "ما رأيت رجلا أورع من ابن عمر." من ابن عمر. "I haven't seen a more devout person than," I haven't seen a person who was more devout than Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Al-wara originally is for a person to avoid the haram, to get away from the haram. Then it used for a person who would avoid also the mubah so that he doesn't fall into the haram. So if the person becomes more careful about engaging in marriage. Al-Hafidh Abu Nu'aym narrated that from a person called Maymun ibn Muhran, he said, some of the followers of a man called Najdah al-Haruri, this man was a leader of Al-Khawarij. Al-Khawarij got divided into about 20 groups. So one of those misguided groups is the group of this man called Najdatul Haruri. His people is called An-Najadat. They were called Al-Khawarijun Najadat. So this person was killed, An-Najda was killed in the year 69 Hijri, you know, during the rulership of Abdul Malik. So this misguided person, his group, some of his group, went to the area where Ibn Umar's camels were, tended by a shepherd. So they took these camels from the shepherd who works for Abdullah. So this shepherd came to his employer, Abdullah, and he told him, "Ihtasi bil ibil." It means, be patient about losing your camels and seek reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a hardship for you. You lost your, you know, camels. So seek the reward from Allah by being patient with this calamity. So Abdullah ibn Umar asked him what happened. So he told him, these people came and took these, you know, camels by force. So he told him, now, how did they leave you? He said, I ran away from them. I wanted to be with you rather than being with them, because you are more beloved to me than they are. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, okay, do you swear that this is exactly what happened? The man said yes, and he swore by Allah that that's what happened. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, I will be patient also about you. Means I lost my camels. Now I'm setting you free. So I don't want you anymore for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to get reward from Allah. Later, some people said, look, your camels are in the marketplace. Why don't you go and get them back? He said, but I already sought reward from Allah for having lost them. It doesn't make sense to go back and try to get them back. I already asked Allah to give me reward for having lost them. And it was known about Abdullah ibn Umar that if he loved, he got attached to any of his money, he would give it in charity for the sake of Allah. He would just get rid of it in seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his slaves used to know that. They knew his habit. So, for example, if people, some of his slaves, saw their master Abdullah ibn Umar in the masjid, they would stay in the masjid for some time with Abdullah. And then when Abdullah looks at them that they are in the masjid, they're doing good things, then he would set them free. They knew that and they would do it on purpose, but anyway, he would do it. So some people told Abdullah, these are people deceiving you. They're making, you know, like tricking you, making fool of you, just claiming that they are in the masjid and so on, so that you set them free. He said, من خدعنا لله خدعنا له. من خدعنا لله خدعنا له. Means the one who is deceiving us so that we set him free and get reward from Allah, will be deceived by him. We accept to be deceived by him because I get reward from Allah. Among the money that he loved a lot was a female slave named Rumaita. He loved her very much. She was his female slave. And then the ayah in Al-Quran, Surah Al-Imran, verse 92, came to his mind. Allah revealed to the Prophet, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, which means that you will not become, you know, perfectly pious until you spend of the money, of your money, that which you love. Because sometimes people may have like a good shirt and they may have an old shirt. They say, okay, that old shirt, I don't need it anymore, so they give it in charity. They don't give the one they like, they give the one they want to get rid of. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet that people will not be totally pious until they spend of their money what they like the most. So when Abdullah ibn Umar remembered this ayah and he realized that Rumaita, this female slave, was she's very dear to him. He loved her a lot. He set her free for the sake of Allah. And he gave her in marriage to his freed slave, Nafi' radiallahu anhu. So he combined. He could have set her free because there is a reward. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, أيما رجل كانت له جارية فأدبها فأحسن تأديبها وأعتقها وتزوجها فله أجرا. So the Prophet said that any man who has a female slave And he raised her and he disciplined her and he taught her, educated her, so that she became a good woman. And then he set her free and then he married her. Then he would get double reward. So Abdullah ibn Umar knew that. So when he set her free for the sake of Allah to get reward, he could have married her himself and got that double reward. But he, because he loved her a lot, and he set her free, he wanted to get another reward by giving her in marriage to his freed slave, Nafi' radiallahu anhu. And then they had a child, and when Abdullah ibn Umar would see that child, he remembers that woman that he loved before he set her free, and he would be happy. So that's one of the habits of Abdullah ibn Umar, that he would give away for the sake of Allah something that he loved among his money. One time he bought a camel, and when he rode the camel, he liked this camel. So when he liked it, he said to his slave Nafi', Nafi', take this camel and put it among the camels of zakah. Put it among the camels of zakah so that the poor people, for example, would benefit from it. So one time he bought a male slave, young man, paying 40,000 for him, and then he set him free. After he set him free, this young man said, "Oh master, you set me free, so give me something I live with. I need something to live with." So he gave him 40,000 also. He paid for him 40,000 and he gave him, after setting him free, for 40,000. One time he bought 5 slaves and he stood praying, so they stood behind him praying. After he finished as-salah, he looked at them, he said, "You were praying? Why were you praying?" They said, "For the sake of Allah." He said, "I set you free for the sake of Allah, because you are worshipping Allah." And they mention, means the people who narrate about the life of Abdullah, that he did not die until he had freed 1,000 slaves. So you could see how generous and how much reward he was seeking from Allah. And he was not living luxuriously. Many days would pass without him tasting any meat, except if he had meat, he would give it to an orphan. One time, one of the rulers sent him 100,000, and by the end of the year, he had spent it for the sake of Allah. He did not keep anything for himself. We already said that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام recommended for Abdullah to pray at night. So he used to do that. He would go to bed, sleep a little bit, wake up, make wudu, pray until he feels sleepy, then he sleeps, then he wakes up. And he would do this about 6 times every night. Wake up and sleep, wake up and sleep. When he wakes up, of course, he would pray. One time, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, one of the good companions of the Prophet. Ja'far is the cousin of the Prophet, the brother of Ali. So this is his son. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far said to Abdullah ibn Umar, "I pay you 10,000 dirham or 1,000 dinar if you sell me Nafi'." So the people asked him, "So what would you do?" He said, "I'll do better than that. I set Nafi' free." Nafi' became one of the great scholars of Islam. The hadith is narrated from Nafi', from Abdullah ibn Umar, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Malik, Nafi', Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet. This is called like a golden chain of narration. Never Abdullah ibn Umar cussed anything or damned anything. One time, one of the servants angered him very much, and he almost cursed him. He said, La'a. So part of the word La'ana. He said, La'a, and then he kept it back. And he said, it's a word I don't like to say. One time, Nafi' is narrating that Ibn Umar got sick. And while he was sick, he desired to eat some grapes. So they bought him, of course, he sent someone, and they bought him, you know, a cluster of grapes with one dirham. So Nafi' said, I brought it and put it in front of Abdullah ibn Umar to eat it. Then a person came to the door, a beggar. He came asking for help. So Ibn Umar said to Nafi', he said, give it to him. I told Ibn Umar, please taste it, at least eat some from it, and then we'll give it to him. He said, no, give it to him. So Abdullah Nafi' gave the grapes to this beggar. The beggar went away, sold these grapes, came back, asking for more. So, again, Ibn Umar said, give him the grapes. So the beggar again went and came back after he sold the grapes. So Nafi' told him, don't you feel shy about doing it so many times? So he bought it from him, and then he gave it to Abdullah ibn Umar without telling him. Because he said, if I told him that I did that, he would not eat from it. He would keep giving back that beggar the same grapes again and again. So this is the life of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. His wife one time was reprimanded by some people that she's giving him hard time. She said, what? They said, be gentle with this older person. Older man means her husband. So she said, what would I do with him? Every time we make him food, he doesn't eat it by himself. Always invites some people to eat with him. So he doesn't eat much. So one time, I knew that he would invite these poor people. So I sent food to them, behind his back. And I told them, here is the food. If he invites you, you don't come. This is your food. So they agreed. So she cooked for him. And then when he sat to eat, he said, why don't you send after these people to eat with me? She told him, if you invite them, they would not come. She already has arranged for that. He said, okay, so if you don't want me to take dinner tonight, I'm not going to take dinner. He didn't take the dinner. So you could see how patient she is with this situation, because the wife would like to honor her husband, to cook for him, to see him eat and be happy. But it seems that he had different plan than she does. One time a person followed Ibn Umar cussing him until the door of his house. So Ibn Umar would not answer anything, but now he wanted to go inside his house. So he turned towards the man and he said, look, my brother Asim and I usually don't cuss people. Means, stop it. Subhanallah. Now, about his knowledge, many companions testified for the great knowledge that Abdullah ibn Umar used to have. One is that Ibn Umar stayed in Al-Madinah after the death of the Prophet around 60 years, people coming to him and asking him about different matters. And Ibn Umar was among the imams of this ummah. Someone said that if you ask Ibn Umar, you don't have to have more details. He would have the whole details of that issue you asked him about. One time, a person asked him a question, and he said, I don't know the answer. Do you want to make my back a bridge to hellfire? Means I'm not going to answer something I don't know about. Because you want to say, Ibn Umar told us the answer. And that's your purpose. So I'm not going to answer if I don't know. And it is known that he used to memorize what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, what he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if he was absent when the Prophet, you know, gave, for example, a lecture or a lesson, he would ask those who attended to tell him what he missed, so that he would follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was known among the companions, the one who is the most adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning when if he knew that the Prophet did something, or if he saw the Prophet had done something, he would do exactly what the Prophet did. He was that meticulous about it. If he knew, for example, there was a street and the Prophet stood on his camel, for example, diagonally in the street, for example, or just stopped his camel in that street, he would do exactly what the Prophet did. He said, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Al-Hajj, he would stand exactly where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam stood, for example, at the big rocks in the land of Arafat. One time, Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma read the ayah, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The ayah means, isn't it time for the believers' hearts, for their hearts, to submit to the ayahs, to the verses of Allah, the verses of Al-Quran? Isn't it time for their hearts to feel the khushu'? So he would cry when he read such an ayah. Nafi' was asked, what did Ibn Umar do at home? Because he's his servant, he knew about him. He said, al-wudu' li kulli salah. He would make wudu' for every prayer he does. Wal-mushafu baynahuma. So he would make wudu', pray, and then read Quran. Then he make wudu' and pray, and then read Quran, and so on. So he would pray, make wudu' for every prayer, and read Quran in between any two prayers. If Ibn Umar, Nafi' said, if Ibn Umar missed Salatul Isha in Jama'ah, then he would stay all night praying, you know, Sunnah, after he prayed, of course, the Isha that he missed. There are many things that we can say about his worshipfulness, how much he prayed. Also, he used to fast while traveling, and he rarely was seen not fasting while he is not traveling. One time, he passed by a shepherd, and he told him, can you give me a sheep, slaughter sheep for me to eat it? The shepherd said, the owner of the sheep is not here. Ibn Umar said, well, tell him that the wolf ate it. He said, Taqillah, the shepherd told him, fear Allah. So Ibn Umar knew that this shepherd was honest. So he bought him from his master, and he bought the sheep, and he set him free, and he gave him the sheep. Radiyallahu anhuma. He narrated many, many, many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He died at the age of 87 in the year 77 Hijri. Radiyallahu anhuma. And the reason of his death is that one time he stood up to Al-Hajjaj. We already know what Al-Hajjaj is. He said something to Al-Hajjaj that Al-Hajjaj didn't like. So Al-Hajjaj sent one of his soldiers, and he pricked him with a poisoned, you know, like a spear. And then as a result, he died after a while. Al-Hajjaj, during, you know, his Ibn Umar's sickness, came to visit him. You know, he ordered his killing, and he comes to visit him while he is dying. But Ibn Umar, it is clear to the people who were around that Ibn Umar would not look at him. He would just turn his face or close his eyes, that he would not talk to Al-Hajjaj until he died, and he was buried in Mecca. رحم الله ابن عمر ورزقنا الاقتداء به رضي الله عنه. May Allah have mercy on Abdullah ibn Umar. May Allah grant us follow his example. May Allah raise his rank. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Inshallah, next time we'll talk about another companion who died during the rulership of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.